Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Allen Derry, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Doc Griggs, and I'm a community medicine doctor and health literacy expert. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health literacy and communications expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know about COVID-19.
You can find more information about this show and our other daily live updates and Q&A show at noisefiltershow.com.
So let's get started.
All right, welcome to Noise Filter. This is Dr. Mark Allen Derry. Doc Griggs is not able to be with us today, so let's go ahead and get started. Herd immunity is unlikely. Now, the phrase herd immunity was never spoken more than at the beginning of the pandemic when public health officials said that reaching herd immunity would put an end to the coronavirus disruption in our lives. Now, there is widespread consensus among scientists and public health experts that reaching herd immunity is not attainable, not in the foreseeable future, and maybe not ever. According to the New York Times, the virus will most likely become a manageable threat that will continue to circulate in the United States for years to come, still causing hospitalizations and deaths, but in much smaller numbers. An evolutionary biologist at Emory says, the virus is unlikely to go away, but we want to do all we can to check that it's likely to become a mild infection. Also, there are a couple reasons why the threshold for herd immunity will almost be impossible to reach. Reason number one, early on in the pandemic, the target herd immunity threshold was estimated to be about 60 to 70% of the population. But as vaccines were developed, estimates of that threshold began to rise. That's because the initial calculations were based on the contagiousness of the original version of the virus. The predominant variant that is now circulating in the United States is about 60% more transmissible than the original. As a result, experts now calculate the herd immunity threshold to be at least 80%. And if even more contagious variants continue to develop, and they will, or if scientists find that immunized people can still transmit the virus, the calculation will have to be revised again. Upwards. The second reason we may never reach herd immunity is, unfortunately, because of vaccine hesitancy. Polls show that 30% of the U.S. population are still reluctant to be vaccinated. That number is expected to improve, but probably not enough. Another reason for not reaching herd immunity is the connectivity between countries, particularly as travel restrictions ease, which further emphasizes the urgency of protecting everyone globally. We will not achieve herd immunity as a country or a state or even a city until we have enough immunity in the population as a whole, says Lauren Ansel Myers, the director of COVID-19 Modeling Consortium at the University of Texas at Austin. So, in conclusion, continued immunizations, especially for people at the highest risk of age, exposure, or health status, will be crucial to limiting the severity of outbreaks. If the vaccination levels of the most vulnerable groups continue to rise, the expectation is that over time, the coronavirus may become seasonal like the flu, affecting mostly the young and the healthy. Failure of plasma treatment teaches lesson in science and crisis. You know, in the early stages of the pandemic, plasma from people with COVID antibodies was oft touted as a possible treatment for COVID-19 without much evidence that this was the case. But now, according to the New York Times, the federal government acted on this possibility anyway, pouring $800 million into the collection effort. Mayo Clinic and the Red Cross led campaigns to get that plasma. Now, more than a year into the pandemic, no quality evidence of the plasma's effectiveness against COVID-19 has been found, and demand for plasma has dropped and collections have slowed down. According to the Times, the lack of return of this massive gamble from the U.S. government is an important lesson in experimental treatment during crises. The government administered plasma outside of the parameters of a clinical trial, making it very time-consuming to measure effectiveness. Now, when researchers were able to reach a conclusion, it wasn't promising. While plasma may be helpful to COVID patients under certain conditions, it didn't have much broadly applicable effect, especially for more severe cases. And in August, the FDA's commissioner misrepresented these preliminary findings after the agency authorized plasma for emergency use, making the treatment appear as if it had more efficacy than it actually did. This opened up the treatment more widely. Community hospitals with scarce resources and few alternative options adopted the practice for its greater availability. And when hospitals saw that the treatment was unlikely to succeed, they needed to treat patients in a way that they could. Some scientists, including those who worked for the FDA under previous administrations, want the FDA to rescind authorization for this treatment. According to the former chief scientist of the agency, pandemic exceptionalism, where typical scientific practices are abandoned due to the crisis, serve to do more harm than good, wasting resources and diverting time and labor away from researching other treatments. Increase in COVID cases among young adults. Contrary to popular belief, COVID-19 does impact people of all ages, both young and old. And in recent months, cases for young adults have been on the rise. While much of the at-risk population was initially of older ages, hospitals are beginning to experience a shift in patient population with greater number of young and middle-aged adults. So today, across the U.S., adults under the age of 50 represent the most hospitalized patients at 35% of hospital admissions. Next, people between the ages of 50 and 64 years old make up the second highest proportion, 31%. And at the same time, hospital admissions for people over the age of 65 have decreased dramatically. Though about 30% of the U.S. population was fully vaccinated by May, a vast majority of the vaccinated population is over the age of 65 due to early prioritization. Another factor to consider is the Alpha variant of COVID-19. It has quickly become the dominant strain of the virus, and it's 40 to 70% more contagious. Thus, we're seeing way more younger people in the hospitals with more severe infections of the disease. We cannot stress this enough, that this is not over. There's still some ways to go, and we as a country remain at risk for severe consequences. It is important that everyone, vaccinated or not, continue to abide by COVID safety guidelines enforced by the CDC. We must take this seriously and act accordingly. A return to the Roaring Twenties. Now, as vaccination rates increases, most Americans are excited to return to some degree of normalcy. On social media, some have anticipated a roaring 2020s, similar to the frivolity that came at the end of the 1918 influenza pandemic and World War I. According to Politico, however, the aftermath of the COVID pandemic is unlikely to be as dramatic. While the consensus used to be that the boom of the Roaring Twenties was due solely to the end of the war, some historians now think that the pandemic also played a large role. According to the Washington Post, the role it played may not have been as conscious, as the flu itself was ravaging the population without being spoken about outside of public health circles. Now, this lack of coverage meant that when the 1918 pandemic was over, it was quickly forgotten or tucked away in the minds of the public. But according to the Post, this is much less likely to happen with COVID. First, dying of infectious diseases was massively common in 1918, and today we are more likely now to die of old age. Secondly, today's access to the internet keeps us far more informed of the magnitude of the event. The pandemic now feels like any unlikely global phenomenon. So, according to Politico, the 1918 flu also differed from COVID-19 in that it disproportionately killed younger Americans, whose survival contributed to a live hard mentality. Because COVID mostly affects older people, its end may not elicit the same reality. One thing that holds true across both pandemics is that the virus will not just disappear. According to Politico, this means it is vitally important to learn from pandemics past in order to manage current and future ones. Just as a reminder that COVID-19 and the human immunodeficiency virus do share the same risk factors. Doc Griggs?
Thanks for listening to the Noise Filter Daily Podcast. Dr. Derry and I have a daily show at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time where we go into more detail on stories and answer your questions about COVID-19.
You can find Doc Griggs at DocGriggs1 on social media, and you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at DRDERY. You can follow us at NoiseFilter on Instagram, NoiseFilterNola on Twitter, and for more information about us and the show, you can go to NoiseFilterShow.com. Hey, Doc Griggs, any last words?
Remember, get checked, get fit, get moving, and remember to get some rest to boost your immune system. And Doc?
Protect yourself and others by staying home, and please wear masks when you go outside. Remember, health is a human right.